Hello. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I'm not going to teach you any deep truth tonight. I'm going to be, as you'll see in just a second, I'll be speaking from the prodigal son or the lost son. So it's something you're very familiar with. But first, I'm going to kind of get to how I got to thinking this way. If you ask somebody, just a general person, what's the prodigal son story about, they will probably tell you, a general person off the street might say, a selfish boy who took his inheritance and squandered it and realized that without his dad's help, he had nothing and went back to his dad and the family was reconciled. If you ask a Christian what the prodigal son story was about, he would probably answer more like the father would be a representation of God and the sons would be his creation. And the younger son who ran off would more likely represent God's creation. And then when he realized he was nothing without God, then he was reconciled. He realized that he needed forgiveness and he was reconciled with his father. And then he had a right relationship and they became the true father-son relationship. I'm going to take it a step further tonight and kind of share with you, instead of telling you a deep truth from the scripture, which I'm probably not capable of coming up with on my own. The Holy Spirit would really have to be working. But I want to tell you tonight how the Holy Spirit has used a couple of different scripture to me. And by sharing with you what I have gathered through a few things, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit then can, you know, speak to you however he sees fit. That's God's place in your life. That's my intent tonight, is to share that with you. And to give you a little background, I'm not going to have you turn to this scripture, but I'm going to share with you what was going through my mind several months ago before I was asked, that got me to thinking about a lot of stuff that I'm reading in the scripture different. It's probably many of you in here already look at it that way, but I want to share with you what's been going on in my head. I'm going to read from Matthew 26, chapter 26, very familiar scripture, but I'm going to read the entire thing because what scripture says is more important than what I have to say. I'm going to start with verse 35, or maybe 34. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again, saying the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh to his disciples, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. I read this, I don't know how many times, over the last couple of months. But what I decided while reading this and have thought about over and over and over is Sunday afternoon. You go home from church or wherever you go after church to eat. And then at my house, cooking shows come on TV. And that is the time for sleeping. As soon as the cooking shows come on TV, we are very tired. 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon could be felt the same physically as 2 o'clock a.m. Sunday morning. I don't know what it is. If I have things to do, if we have to go shopping Sunday, or if there's youth group things to be done Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, I'm like, so I'm just sharing with you all that so that you can understand my physical feeling and how I understand these disciples. They were tired, like you are while you're trying to stay awake while I speak. They were tired, and I so feel their pain, and I'm thinking that I relate to the disciples very easily because I want to be with the Lord. I want to do what the Lord's got for me right now. And I'm thinking, you know, in His eyes, am I sleeping? And so that's where I started thinking all this. I don't know if it was a message on the radio. I don't know if it was reading it in the worship meeting. But I've thought about this over and over and over. And I started relating to a lot of scriptures. So, because the prodigal son, or as mentioned a lot of places, including in my Bible, is titled The Lost Son, and one of my favorite stories. And as you may know, the word prodigal means wastefully extravagant. And so when you hear the story as the lost son or the prodigal son, they're really two different titles. And I've thought about the different characters. And I want you to, I'm encouraging you to understand that I come from teaching Sunday school and teaching youth group. And when I ask you a question, I expect an answer. So I'm getting ready to read scripture you've already heard before, and I'm going to ask questions that you can already answer. But I'm giving you this heads up. There's like a pop quiz. You know, it's really rude when your phone rings during the preacher. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm giving you forewarning that I'm going to ask questions, and you're supposed to blurt out answers. So let's go back to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to start with verse 11 and read the entire thing through verse 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a kid goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. And he says, my son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So, pop quiz. To start with, because they're the easier questions, I'm going to limit it to those of you who are 20 years old and younger. So that means one of the three of you have to answer. What are the two most prominent characters in The Prodigal Son? Okay, this isn't hard. The son and the father. He's good. I would maybe more narrow it down to the younger son who ran away and came back. And the father. Excellent. Now that we got the easy questions out of the way, open it up to the group. Who are other characters in this story? The older son. Now we're down to three. Three. We have servants. Excellent. I know I heard something, but I didn't hear anything. The man he hired out to, which in what I read was called a citizen. Okay, who else? Jim? The harlot. That's excellent. That is a character or a type of character. That's not a good character. Do we have any others? I think that may have covered who I have here. The fattened calf? I think that was just an inanimate object by that time. So I've got a man, I got two sons, a younger and older, a citizen, the father's hired servants. And that's what I've got. Yeah, the pigs. Yeah, poor swine. Okay, let's get to, the reason I don't count the swine and I don't count the cows is because what I'm going to talk about, you understand. It's not bad answers, they're just wrong. Okay? All right. Nobody's asleep. This is great. And I have 3 minutes. Okay. I personally can relate to the younger son. I have been in a point in my life when I knew that without Christ, I was nothing. Okay? And I had to come to Jesus Christ for my own personal salvation. That's what all of us already understand about the story. What I read possibly 6 weeks ago or so that really struck me is that I'm the older son. I'm the one who's always around. I'm here all the time. I think that I'm doing right all the time. But, you know, as I got to thinking about that and as the Holy Spirit works on me, He's starting to work on me, you know, how productive really are you being? You know, you're going through the motions, you're doing the right things, but is that who I want to be in this story? And so, you know, I'm not saying that's not who I want to be in the story, but I am saying that it causes you to think a whole lot more differently about the story when you start putting yourself into different characters in the situation. And I'm thinking, okay, how can this relate specifically to me, Lord? What do you have for me of this? And then I think, okay, I can relate to this. I'm one of God's children, and so comes to the chapel Sunday morning. Do I run up and hug them and so glad they're here? Or do I think to myself, I wonder what brings them in this morning? You know what I'm saying? I know that you do. You don't have to nod your head. It's okay. But I'm thinking this way, and it's personally really convicting me. And then I'm thinking, you know, the father. I'm a father. And this father has to go outside and talk to the older son, another one of my bad traits, and say, look, You know, I can understand the son talking to the servant, and the servant saying, you need to go in there. They're celebrating. Your son came back. I mean, your younger brother come back. They're having a party in there, but you better get in. No, I ain't going in there. So the father comes out and says, look, boy, I want you to come in. He's back. He is my younger son. He was lost, and now he's found. We're going to celebrate. You know, we have to celebrate this. And he's trying to get him to come inside. Well, now I can all of a sudden relate to the father. I know my kids are nearly perfect. But occasionally I have to encourage them to do something that me, the father, wants them to do. And they might be telling me, that's not what I want to do. It could be something as simple as washing the dishes or moving chairs and tables up in the gym or whatever it is. So I'm now seeing myself in the situation of the father, trying to encourage the children. And what we have here is a picture from Scripture of how something went down and we can relate to it. And then I see over here, we have the servant who, the older son, goes up to the servant and says, what's all that music in there going on? And he's telling him. And I can see me out in the world being responsible for encouraging people to go in. There's this thing going on. You're supposed to be a part of it, you know. So I'm just telling you in the short time that I have that it's encouraged me to plug myself into all of the different areas in what I'm reading here. And I don't know what the Lord has for you. And I don't have any ability to tell you where you are or how you stand or what the Holy Spirit has for you. I'm just sharing you a little bit of what I've had thoughts from what I've read and how I've really enjoyed, you know, everything that I'm reading now in a stronger way that way. And I've just wanted to share that with you tonight. So with that, I finished on time, and I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this meeting place here at Shannon Hills, Lord, in Greensboro. We just thank you that we have this facility. Lord, I thank you for the Christians and the people who you've even had here before me, Lord, and for your word and for the worship meeting that goes on here, Lord. I thank you for all that you do here, Lord. And I thank you for the freedom that we have here to meet together openly and talk about what you've done for us and your word and sharpen one another with your holy word, Lord. We just thank you for the privileges that we have here, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit might have freedom to work among us and that you will continue to grow us and show us your will in each one of our lives, Lord, that we might be less hardened and less selfish, Lord, and that you'll make us more fit for the calling that you have for us, Lord. And we just pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.